Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Nigel Holmes, a British-American graphic designer, and we're talking about his new book, Crazy Competitions, 100 Weird and Wonderful Rituals from Around the World. Nigel, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
There are a few books that I come across that are just like sort of pure enjoyment from end to end. This is one of them. And first of all, you can enjoy this in several ways. There are the competitions themselves, which are insane. We'll talk about those.
Yes.
But your graphic work really makes this book swing. Let's talk about it. I mean, that's what you do.
Yes, indeed. I was trained as an illustrator in England long, long time ago, and but somehow fell into information design, information graphics, because a great mentor that I met at the London Sunday Times magazine back in the 60s said, I don't think you're a very good illustrator, but I like the way your mind works. Would you like to help me with some graphics that I'm doing here? And so I did, and somehow found myself in a little niche that I've stayed in ever since. But I've always wanted to draw more things rather than do, you know, charts and maps,
right,
and diagrams, which I think can be a little tedious, boring. And so I've always livened them up. And I got into a bit of trouble at Time magazine, where people said, you know, would write in and say, if Mr. Holmes wants to be a cartoonist, he should go off and be a cartoonist.
Whoa.
Well, I got nice letters, too. I got fan letters.
Oh, okay.
Who said, you know, I never understood this, but now I do. Now I see it, which is nice. Literally see it, and so, and then I left Time and been on my own ever since. Yeah.
This must be a dream project for you, because
oh man, is it ever? You're absolutely right. I knew the guy who was the editor of it, Julius. From a conference, I think we met, I was having lunch with him one day, and we were talking about some other work that I'd done for Taschen on actually straightforward graphics, and I said to him, you know, I've always been fascinated by things like the hot dog eating contest and rolling cheeses down hills and so on, and do you think there's a book there?
Oh, yes.
And he said, I don't know, but why don't you do 10 and show me, and I'll show them to my boss at Taschen. And lo and behold, they said yes. And then they said, could you do 100? And, you know, I blanched a little, but I said, yeah, sure. And you know what? I could have done 200.
I knew that. I could tell that. Every competition, it's a different graphic challenge, too, about how to show it.
Yep.
And I want to mention that every competition is a two-page layout,
yes.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's not – there's some main illustration or illustrations, yes, but there's a ton of other side information.
Yes.
There's an incredible amount of information.
Yes.
And I don't want to say jammed, because everything looks very open and airy. But there's a lot of information in everything, and you had to sort of design each page accordingly. But from a graphic design point of view, this was like a dream job.
It was, and they let me go with it. They did a very light editing touch. They gave me a researcher, so everything is correct. And they questioned a few things. I mean, I'm not going to give the game away, but one of them is a complete fake. And the researchers came back to me, and they said, we can't find this place on the map. Are you sure you've got it right? So they were really looking. And then it's translated into French and German.
That's right.
And this was fantastic for me because, you know, I'm designing the spreads as a spread and writing it and drawing it all at the same time. So I can control how much goes into it, and some of them are much more open than others. Some there's very little. Some there's just one big rat going across the...
That's one of my favorite illustrations, though, because it's a flung rat.
Yes, it's a flung dead rat, yes. That's why it's upside down. But the German and the French translations really opened my eyes into editing, because German was much longer.
And, right.
And I thought I was going to have a terrible time fitting it all in. But thank goodness for Taschen and their writers. They wrote to fit, even in German. And the publishers actually sent the first translation back to the guys and said, you know, we don't think this quite captures the spirit of what Mr. Holmes is writing here. And so, you know, the whole experience was just, as you say, was a dream job. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I have to ask you this. So was there a short list you were handed of the 100 competitions from around the world?
It was very much a joint thing. I gave them a list. They came back and said, can you add these, and in which case take those out. A lot of it had to do with geography.
Right. You wanted to balance out, because the book is divided up geographically.
Yes, yes. And they wanted it to be as worldwide as possible. And in fact, on the back of the book, there's a hint as to what they were thinking all along, I think, the salespeople, which is your travel guide.
I know.
To the wildest culture.
Well, one of the things this does is anybody who picks this up and starts to read it, you start making travel plans because you want to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Now, as a graphic artist, you've got a list of crazy events that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Did any present like a real serious challenge to you right off that you had to solve? Like, some of them must have been easier than others.
Yes, a lot were easier than others. And some that I've thankfully put out of mind, I kind of refused to do because of the graphic challenge. But I found that I was interested in things... like there's one actually about flinging cats around, and I like cats, and I didn't want to do that. Live cats, I mean.
Well, I'm going to stop you there, because there's a lot of flinging stuff in.
There is a lot of flinging. There's a whole lot of throwing.
It's amazing when you look at these competitions around the world, because people are throwing tunas.
Yes.
Rats.
Yep.
Wellies.
Yes.
Things with fire ants in them.
Yes.
Tomatoes, wine. I mean, the list is goes on. Flour and eggs, and that's one of the weirdest illustrations.
Well, you know, most of my life I've worked in magazines, and what I wanted to do with this book was to give the reader a kind of a pacing that meant that not every spread looked the same.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, I used some of my own kind of freehand drawing with a pencil, and some vector drawing, if that's not too nerdy a term,
mm-hmm.
done on the computer, which is a lot kind of stiffer, and much the way that my straightforward graphics are done, using, you know, a program like Adobe Illustrator. But this white one, the flour and egg battle, I just thought, well, they cover themselves in flour, so let's just make it really pale.
And it's a fascinating illustration, because it's like ghostly.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, as I say in the introduction, you can go to the kind of official URLs for a lot of these sports, and which is what I did. And you see photographs of it, and they are ghostly.
And the contrast to that illustration for me, there's several of them, but bee bearding
yes.
competition in Japan, in China,
yes,
where it's very incredibly graphically detailed.
Yes, yes,
and well, repetitive.
Yeah, repetitive. That's the beauty of a computer. Of course, you draw it once, and then you just repeat it thousands of times. And that's kind of deliberate. That's part of the pacing thing that
yep.
I'm talking about, from intensity to, oh, phew, here's a is a relief, you know.
I don't think people understand that enough in a book like this, that the artist involved is actually looking not just at the illustration, but the continuation of the illustrations through the book.
Yes. Yeah. Right. I didn't do them necessarily in this order. The order became what it is for the reasons of geography, you know, start at top left and go to bottom right on a map, which is the contents page. So number one was Arctic Man. I mean, not the best thing in the book at all, but, you know, it's the first one that you come to. Up in Alaska,
and what I love about that one starting in the soft is you sort of start off and goes, well, you know, it's sort of sports like, so this is going to be sort of normal.
Yeah.
and then it just drops down the rabbit hole after that.
Yeah, right. Hair freezing is the next one.
I actually looked up the photographs of that.
Yes.
And your illustration is right on, it's like spot on. I thought it was like, oh, this sort of very graphic representation of what's going to go on.
Yeah.
But, well, we should talk about hair freezing just for a second. I mean, it's up in Canada.
Whitehorse, Canada, yeah.
And it's in winter, naturally,
yes.
And it's like 30 degrees below zero.
Right.
People soak their hair.
Yeah.
And then run outside and sort of give it a wild toss.
Yes.
And then let it freeze.
I know. And, you know, one of the things about the book is that I didn't want to call it either crazy or competitions.
What did you want to call it?
Well, I wanted to call it They Throw Dead Rats in Spain. But
that's a better title.
I know, but you know, eventually you come up again in any book project, you come up against the people who are going to help you sell it.
Right.
And they didn't think they could use that title. And a lot of them are not competitions, and I thought crazy might actually offend some people.
That's right.
For which, you know, especially the religious ones.
That's right.
Which are based on religious, at the end of a religious festival or something where they let their hair down. But speaking of hair, but they, I lost that battle. But it's okay.
You know. Yeah, you're right. It's all, especially when you take a global look at this, you realize the term crazy is really relative.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody's doing something that to somebody else seems unusual or different.
Yes.
Now, when you were doing this, were there certain of these competitions or festivals that you just went, wow, that's really weird?
Well, yes. People do what seem to be very cruel things with babies.
Well, you know, I was going to ask about that because there's people jumping over babies. Yep. There's people throwing babies, and then there's people scaring babies.
Yes, yes. And in fact, that was one of the places where they said, can we not do one of these baby things? the one that I suggested didn't make the cut, and so we went back. It was the sumo one that they wanted to draw.
That's weird. Let's talk about these three babies.
Okay.
In Spain, they do this really interesting event where they put babies out
on the street,
and jump over them.
Yep. Yep.
And you write, what I love about your writing in this too is that no babies were harmed. Have ever been harmed?
Yeah, no. And actually, in any of the three, even the big, the worst one, I think, is the baby drop, which is a 30-foot drop of a baby into.
And that's in India.
That's in India, and that actually was banned in India, but they still do it because they have a. This is where the word crazy comes in, possibly offensively. They really believe that this is going to make their babies better in life. You know, the louder the baby screams, same with the sumo, the louder the baby screams, the longer and the better life that baby will have. And parents willingly give up these less than one-year-old kids to the sumo wrestlers who are not allowed to, you know, squeeze them. I mean, we shouldn't laugh. I mean, it's,
well, you know, I have to think about like the long-term effects of this. I mean, in Japan, you're handing your baby to these apprentice sumo wrestlers,
right,
and they have to try to make you cry.
Yes, yes, by looking at them. Yeah, and I mean, any baby, I think that you hold up in front of you and just stare at probably would start to cry. But imagine if the thing that's the person that's holding you up is
a sumo wrestler,
enormous, right? And I mean, they
wow.
are.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Nigel Holmes, British-American graphic designer. We're talking about his new book. It's one of those things. You have to pick this book up. It's just – it's fun. It's interesting. It's fascinating. And there's a lot of information here. Crazy competitions, 100 weird and wonderful rituals from around the world. Nigel, it seems like when I look at some of these, there's just sort of artificially created weird stuff. Like when I look at the pig and Ford races, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I get that, all right? But then some of them, as we were talking about before, seem to be – especially the older ones, are steeped in hundreds of year-old traditions.
Yes.
And sometimes it seems like the original meaning may have been lost.
Oh, definitely. I think definitely. And people prepare for ages making the, you know, the fireworks, the rocket one, or, I don't know, the stilt dancing, you know.
Well, there's one, isn't there? There's a turnip throwing one that has this amazing costume that you've put into the illustration, and people are pelting this guy with these huge hard turnips.
Yes, yes.
And so they really work on this costume throughout the year. It becomes and it's a big deal. But there really is like this sort of range of things between okay, obviously somebody just made this up. In the last 10, 15 years. And then this has been going on like the tradition in Britain of the holly man, the green man. That is like goes way back.
It goes way back. That's one of my favorites because I'm sure you know as a writer that not everything comes out the way you really wanted it to.
Oh, yeah.
This one pretty well came out the way I wanted to, and this is also a testament to the value of the computer, because a lot of those holly leaves are just drawn once and then repeated tons of times. But no, I remembered this from England. I haven't lived there for a long time, but I also like turning the book on its side.
Right, and sometimes you read it one way, and sometimes you read it the other way, and that it's in that way it's very interactive.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And it allows you to do, I mean, three or four of them, I think, are full-length pictures of people. You know, I like the heels one as well.
The heels one is beautiful.
In Spain, the gay race.
Some of this, getting back to Britain, your home country.
Yeah.
Okay, the nettle eating contest. I mean, some of this stuff just seems like a bad dare.
I know.
Because okay. I know nettles here. We have stinging nettles here, and people have brushed up against them, and they get these huge welts.
Yep.
And in Britain, there's a contest where people see how many nettles they can eat. That's like let's eat a porcupine. I mean,
I know. if you go online, you can actually see movies of a lot of these things, and people are really hurting.
I have no – well, it's like the cheese rolling.
Yes.
I've seen the films of the cheese rolling before. Yep. That's like – I was just describing that to my physical therapist of all people.
Yep.
And she goes, so people just run down the hills? No. No, they really sort of just throw themselves down the hill.
Yeah.
And people are injured every year.
Yeah, people are injured every year. And, you know, the information part of my brain, as it were, was – astounded when I looked at I worked out the actual profile of the hill, and it is practically vertical in one place.
I know.
In one little place where it's you're practically running down straight downwards. But people fall over, and the cheeses, you know, the cheeses were originally big rolls of hard cheese, and they would roll off the side of the track. And there are no guardrails or anything, and spectators stand quite close to it, and the cheeses would roll off and actually hurt people, you know. And
See, I want that on my resume. Injured yeah. by a rolling cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
My God. Now, there's eating contests, too. You have a great section. It's actually the only one, I think, that's four pages.
Yes.
Which is on – you start with the hot dog eating contest.
Yep.
And one of the great representations, graphic representations, is you actually do a little sidebar with all the hot dogs.
Yes, yeah.
And that just occurred on Coney Island a couple of days ago.
Yes, and when I first drew this, it was 70. So I had to add two last year because Joey Chestnut, the reigning champion, right. ate two more. And now, of course, he's eaten two more. So they go off the bottom of the page.
Oh, my God.
This is part of the problem of it being a hardcover book, but I think people will understand. So, can you imagine this? You eat.
No, and as a perfect, I was watching that. And, yeah. and if you have any kind of gustatory sensibility, yes. No.
No. No.
But then what? The great thing about your book is you mentioned some of these other eating contests.
Oh. Yeah.
And I can't believe what people are putting down their throats because
I know.
There's Spam, butter. Yeah. It, when you get to something like that, like yeah. just eating butter or mayonnaise.
Yes, yes.
Brain tacos.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you see actually some of the same names appearing, like Joey Chestnut, who is the hot dog champion, is the ice cream champion and the Twinkies
God.
Champion and the hard-boiled eggs. 141 in 8 minutes. 141. God almighty.
Now, other things, I didn't even understand how this can work. Bog snorkeling.
Bog snorkeling. Yeah, that's a favorite of mine. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, that must be like swimming in molasses.
Well, it's mud, you know. I mean, it's. Let me turn to this.
You have a great representation because I first yeah. had to. I thought it was going to be manure swimming,
but
it is perfect bog brown.
Yeah, and that was one of the first ones. That was, Mark. That was one of the ones like throwing the dead rats and the wellies. I had originally intended to make my life relatively easy doing this book by doing one huge illustration and then little sidebar stuff. And that was one of the first ones. It's pretty simple, lots of nice white space. But the more I looked at these competitions, the more fascinated I got
right.
by all the other stuff that goes on. And hot dogs was one of them, of course. But, there's just so much detail. I had to edit like hell to.
But that's what makes this book is all the sidebar stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, sort of advice if you're thinking about competing.
Yes.
Which is like, which please don't. Well, I mean, for something like poo sticks. Yeah. Okay. I could compete in poo sticks.
Yes.
But anything else is just like no.
Yeah.
There's also some great names. And I want to bring up a British name, and you know, I bet you know what I'm going to talk about.
Lyle Plonkin.
Yes, that sounds like it's out of Monty Python.
I know it does. It does. It's real. That's not the fake one. And that I'm particularly proud of this one because, as you can see from the little picture of Henri Matisse.
Yeah.
This is exactly based on one of his paintings. La Danse, and
it's beautiful.
And but if you look that up, you'll see that I practically traced his figures. I dressed them in modern clothes, bare naked, in his painting. But it just that kind of fell into my lap. You know that there were the right number of people, and of course I put the Dweil Flonker in the middle. But yes, all those terms are. I mean, you know, it's called girting, and a full game comprises four snurds. It is exactly like Monty Python, yeah.
Or even earlier, like something Bonzo Doggy or something.
Yes. Yes.
So there's some dramatic And a lot of these, I end up realizing that I've actually seen before, like the Festival of the Phallus in Japan.
Oh, now, yes, right.
That was a dramatic illustration too.
Yes, well, I use the.
Where else do you get to like have a gigantic penis and yeah. just get away with it?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, kids love this book, and I think that's probably why. You know, I mean, I hesitantly give it to the parents or to the child. And like my own son, actually, who has my grandchildren are 12 and 10. And I said to Roland, who actually helped me quite a bit with the book, I said, so how does Sophia think, what does she think of it? And he said, I'm not saying anything. I'm just letting them look at it, you know. But I don't know.
Now I have to ask you, is there going to be like, I would love to have a poster from this book. Is that anybody talking about that?
Well, nobody's talking about it, but I think like a lot of things, if it becomes popular, I'd love to do a poster. Yes. With, I don't know, a few of them maybe, or a few posters.
Or a calendar at least.
Or a calendar, 12. Yeah, absolutely. because they're all based. One of the first ways we were going to organize it was by season,
right.
By month, and mix it up so that they weren't all in the same place. But then we decided on the geography. But yeah, a calendar that would be very good. Yeah, I'd like to do that. Is there going to be a second book? Well,
I would love it.
Again, I think it depends on how it goes. Tashin seems to be a little flummoxed about how to sell it, actually, because it's not like many of their other books.
Oh, these big tomes.
The big tomes and the art books that they do, and the kind of...
But it is an art book.
Yeah. The thing is, I walked into my local Barnes & Noble, and I thought, where would I put this book if I was...
And where was it?
I couldn't find it.
Oops. We're going to have to go. Nigel, we're out of time.
Oh.
I hope there's a second volume, and I hope there's a calendar or something, because this your graphic work on this is just outstanding. My guest tonight has been Nigel Holmes, British-American graphic designer, and we're talking about his new book. It is so much fun. It's amazing. It's fascinating. Crazy Competitions, 100 Weird and Wonderful Rituals from Around the World. Read it, and you too will wear a beard of bees. Nigel, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.